Yeah, we're going early, but I doubt anyone was sat around desperately waiting that 2 minutes for us to start. So I don't think it'll matter. Welcome to episode 326 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Nella.
How's things, mate?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
Yeah, all good. It's been a week. It's definitely been a week. Which is why we're doing this at 12 o'clock when Casey's got about an hour before he starts work and while I'm on break from work.
It's going well.
Yeah, it's going excellently. As did the week in Leeds United. We have zero notes for this because of how busy it's been, but let's start with Arsenal 5, Leeds 0. I think this was probably worse for you than me because at least I got to get a bit drunk.
Yeah, I was sober for most of this. Yeah, it was... I'm going to use the word that I think I would have made me kick off if someone used it under Bielsa, but I would have to go so far as to describe it as a naive performance.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, the players weren't good enough and stuff, but I'm finding it hard to get mad at the players. This one's on Farker. Every single person saw that lineup and went, really? Peru in this game. Are you sure?
I think I got the team, Bob, on.
Well, you did, actually. You were right. You were right to go, we won, he won't change it. Outside of enforced ones. But I caught, again, now it's my turn to be naive. I thought even someone as change-averse as Daniel Farke would be able to see that you can't play Joe Peru up top in a game like this, that Gruev hasn't got the legs for it. But no. I mean, I wasn't actually shocked at Gruev playing because that's who we brought on for Ampadu.
Yeah.
So I wasn't, that one didn't surprise me. I just disagreed with it. The Peru over Mecha did surprise me.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, we had no out ball whatsoever in that game. And too many times we tried to pass our way out of the back and just were playing sloppy passes or rush passes and just giving the ball away in dangerous areas or then having to just hoof it aimlessly upfield for it to then come back. So I don't, the one saving grace for Peru in all this was he didn't have chance to be bad because the ball didn't really go within an arse's roar of him.
Yeah, true. It was just so very sloppy. I mean, we won't get into it much because it's nearly a week ago, but obviously both Timber's goals from corners. The first one, I think, is a good ball in, to be honest, and a good header. I saw a little bit because I can't remember who it was, but someone stepped off the post.
I think it's correct.
But given the angle of the header, I bet if you looked into all the data and stuff, that stepping off the post is probably the right thing to do there. It's more likely to go that side even the post side. And it's just a really good header. Timber's second header, which was what, goal four? Well, that was like the scrappy one, wasn't it, where it like bobbles and he just shoves a leg at it and it goes in, which was scrappy.
About three handballs in there. Two of them are probably ours.
Yeah. It looked at the one thing I noticed when I was watching live, and by this point I had a few beers. It looked like Joe Roden just like stood still, and if he'd have stepped forward, he might have been able to do something about it. But nah, whatever. The goals that I really didn't like were the second one and the third one. Obviously, the second one, that's the one where Gruev, like, we win the ball back well, and Gruev just passes it straight back to him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And playing Saka, good finish. I saw a lot of. Well, a lot would be a stretch. I saw a bit of criticism of Perry on that, and it does look... It doesn't look great when it's that close to you, but he hits it that hard. I think it's a much better finish than it got credit for.
Yeah, I don't know, because it's quite... It's not far off his shoulder. I don't think it's curling away, and like you say, it is a powerful strike.
I think it's the high-up equivalent of, you know, when one's near a keeper's legs, but just out of reach of the legs, so they have to go with the hand and they can't get down in time. This is like, because it's so near your shoulder, you can't get your arm up in time.
Yeah.
It's a... I think it's...
That's what the head's there for.
Yeah, that's true. He should have slapped the bonce on it.
Yeah.
and Gyökeres's first goal, which was just a long ball down the left channel. And then Strauch comes out to it. And look, I'm a big fan of Pascal Strauch, but this was just, there was no actual defending. He just sort of stood there and let it happen.
Yeah. Just...
like, he didn't show him outside, but he also didn't show him inside. He was basically a traffic cone.
yeah, it was. It's that thing of, and it'll be the same. It will be the same today. I don't mind losing. It's very much the manner in which we lost that's the upsetting part. That there didn't seem to be a, wasn't much nous about the performance at all. That, you know, we didn't. We just sort of allowed Arsenal to play.
Because like for about, I've just looked. The first goal's 34 minutes. And for about half an hour, we weren't bad. We weren't great, but we weren't bad. We kept it. It was kind of stodgy. Gyökeres had one chance that kind of came in quickly and he skewed it wide. And Strauch had that header from a corner, which was probably the best effort of the game up to that point.
Yeah.
And then one goal went in and we seemed to just fall apart.
Yeah, it's... yeah, like I said, there is... as much as I don't ever particularly want us to play this way, the idea of, you know, how difficult it was for us to play against those teams that sat really deep, just stayed organised. And...
well, that's the key, stayed organised, because some of them sat back and didn't stay organised, and those were very easy to play against.
Yeah.
Plymouth.
yeah. But we didn't really make it that difficult for them at all.
No. And there was a bit of a meltdown afterwards about that, to be fair. And I don't think that was unreasonable.
No. And then obviously, sort of up to and including the Sheffield Wednesday game as well, Farke's reaction to being asked about his selection wasn't great.
Yeah. That worried me more than anything I saw on the pitch.
Hmm.
I should be able to get the actual quote fairly quickly, but it was basically him saying, no, I thought that was the right thing to do, and I still do, which is a real worry, because it just objectively is not true. And it's not a Bielsa style, no, I'm sticking to the way I play because I think this is the right thing to do. It's like a fundamental misunderstanding of how that game went.
Yeah. Like, I think kind of as you've gone through it and looking at the players we did have available, there was a big part of you think that one, the personnel was, you know, it wasn't the right starting lineup for that occasion. It wasn't what we needed.
I've found the quote, by the way. After you lose a game, you would change everything. Decisions we took before the game, I would do same again. This group played well against Villarreal, Milan and Everton. If you change this, everyone would question why he is going away from winning formula. One, horses for courses. Don't compare Arsenal away to Everton at home.
It's or a pre-season friendly.
Or two pre-season friendlies. But the winning formula didn't fucking win. We drew those games. And that's right, as much as we're the better side than Everton, it was 1-0 with a debatable penalty.
Ah, come on now.
Like, you can't just say, oh, this was the winning formula. If we'd, you know, been brilliant in pre-season and then beat Everton 3-0, as much as I would still play differently against Arsenal, and at least he would have a leg to stand on.
Hmm.
But he doesn't visit. It's just a serious lack of understanding. Just, I know that we've called him stubborn a million times, but that really is a stubborn thing. And that, because there was a lot of the outside perspective going, I can't believe how much criticism Daniel Farke's getting from the Leeds supporters. And some of it was still, as it always is with Leeds, was a bit over the top. But they seem to think that they were that people were criticising Farke because we got battered by Arsenal, and that's not why. And then we go on to Chef Wednesday in midweek and produce about as bad a performance as you could manage, really.
I was quite lucky in as much as I didn't see most of the game. I started listening from the second half, and it really felt like nothing was going for us until Willy Nonto came on, who sort of gave us some impetus in the game.
That's basically that once the right hand side became Bogle Nonto,
yeah,
we suddenly looked a lot better.
But yeah, it's one of those things that you. I mean, I described it to in a text to Mark Young as we are playing a bunch of BTEC boys and Jamal Lowe.
Yep, that what was it? 258 league starts between them, and about 245 of them were Jamal Lowe.
Yeah. I mean, by the end, because I did get to see the penalty shootout, and I was looking at the penalty takers going, none of them are children.
No, that's the one thing that they did bring on some experience to do that, which was sensible.
Mm.
This was another one. Like, this one is more on the players than FAC for me. If Arsenal was on FAC, this one, like, look at that team. Dallo, Byron, Bonnell, Biol, Harrison, Guev Longstaff, Aronson, Peru, Okafor, Mecher. It's not our absolute best side, but it should walk this game.
There is a part of me, and I think especially now in an era where you can make five subs, that thinks you make four or five changes to the starting lineup, and especially after losing like that to Arsenal, you put out a strong team for the first half. And then, ideally, you get yourself in a good position, and at halftime, you bring four of them off.
Yeah, maybe. There is one change he made that baffles me, which just sounds like I'm saying it in hindsight because he fucked up. But I don't get not playing Perry. He'd only had two games at Leeds. He'd just conceded five in the last game. He could have done with the game. Regardless of Darlow chucking one in his own goal.
But he's so good in penalty shootouts, Jack.
Yeah, that is. I mean, he's had a few. He's had two or three of them now, and he's really not good on it.
I mean, him. To be fair, I mean, the saving grace was the next night. It was at least Carl Darlow had the good grace to dive out of the way of all the penalties. Andre Onana thought, "I'm going to dive to these and then let them in."
Yeah, it turns out that Andre Onana has proper biscuit wrists, but I couldn't even fully enjoy that. Because of how shit we'd been. I still enjoyed it, don't get me wrong.
Also, you know how we've gone on these fairly barren runs without penalties before? I kind of hope we go on one now. I don't want to see us take a penalty anytime soon.
Yeah.
Those were three dreadful penalties.
They really were. I mean, I'm trying. I mean, obviously, the headline is Calvert-Lewin's. Right, here's the weird thing. I was weirdly positive about Calvert-Lewin's performance in this game.
Was it that he was doing the right things?
Well, he played. He came on in the 58th minute. And he got into position to have three out, like, really good chances. And yeah, he missed them. And to be honest, I still think the first one he has to score. The second one, I think, is good goalkeeping. And the third one, I think if he's sharper, he's fine with that. Because I think the keeper gets a tiny touch, but a striker that's match fit and stuff probably is able to adjust his body and stuff, and he didn't. But neither Mecher did a little bit, but Peru definitely doesn't. Just wasn't getting in those positions at all anyway. So it is a little bit of the Bamford defence, basically, where I think that's probably a good thing. There is one thing Farker did in this game that makes no sense. Leeds finally managed to, like, really... One, we only started properly playing with any speed in the game after we went 1-0 down. And because it was immediate, I have to assume it was instructed. But we get that goal in the 81st minute. Nonto and Bogle down the right-hand side. Basically, once they started playing together, we started playing better. Bogle came on in the 71st minute. So having had that be our main source of attack, main and source of the goal, 3 minutes later, he brings on Dan James for Noah Okafor and moves Nonto over to the left.
Yeah.
Like, there was one thing that was working really well, so he made the one change that stopped that. And that is such a weird bit of management.
Yeah, like I know Dan James isn't suited to coming off the left, but like you say, in that situation, leave it. It's working. It's one of the few things that is.
Yeah, you want to take Okafor off? Fine. Bring on Goodmanson and push Harrison forward from left back.
Yeah.
Like, he had the options there to do it. It's such an odd thing. I haven't actually noted him down, but we should talk about, we have some outs. The first one, no one saw coming. We saw it coming that he'd go. Sam Greenwood to Pogon Szczesny for about $4 million, which is the record transfer into the Polish extra liga ever.
There's a lot to digest there. Mostly yeah. Just in some of the Polish words you've said.
I know the Pogon bit. I think it's Szczesny, but I'm not sure at all.
I'm not going to call you on it.
I've written that word loads of times because there's loads of tennis tournaments there.
Yeah.
I've never said it. I've just read it a lot. I do think that there was something to what was said on the, I think it was on the Square Ball podcast. They got bought by a Canadian.
Mm.
So I wonder if Jesse Marsh had a word.
Yeah, let him have a chat with them about the width. See how that goes. Good for Sam Greenwood.
Yeah, I hope he does well. I like Sam Greenwood.
Saves him from going back to Preston.
Yeah, because I mean, like, it's a little bit annoying that the best thing he ever did in a Leeds shirt in the first team was score an absolute belter against Bournemouth that kind of saved Jesse Marsh's job and might have indirectly got us relegated.
Yeah.
But he's a good player. He's an unbelievably good ball striker. Really good on set pieces, so hopefully he can kick on because he's a good player. Isaac Schmidt has gone on loan to Werder Bremen, which this one has an option, doesn't it? I believe.
I think so. Yeah. Which, bless him, he needs a home somewhere. There's so many questions as to how any of this happened at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
Yeah, and the one that has annoyed a lot of the fan base, me included, Lajee Ramazani has gone along to Valencia for the season. I don't know if you saw, but he got an assist last night.
Oh, nice. I'm not surprised. It's still very weird in as much as he started last season really well, got a few goals, his blistering pace, got an injury, and then Farker didn't really seem to want to know much after that. Not even in as much as once you had James and Solomon playing the way they were, like, grand. I completely understand that. But even coming off the bench,
that was the bit I was always complaining about. Yeah, the games where we were 3-0 up and he'd bring him on, either not bring him on at all or bring him on with 6 minutes left when he could have given him half an hour. Because the game was won and stuff. Those were like no one was mad at him for starting James and Solomon when they were both playing that well. It was the use of him afterwards and the publicly calling him out, which I wasn't mad keen on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose with Okafor coming in, that was always going to kind of be the end of that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. The one thing I was, because when this was first reported, it said that there was an option, but it sounds like there isn't one, which I'm happier about. One, because I think he's going to be a good player and I think he'll improve. I think if he gets in their team and plays every week, it will end up being good for Leeds.
Yeah.
And if we go down, like, that's who you want.
Well, depending on the clauses in his contract.
Yeah, God, imagine if we sign someone in the Championship with one of them clauses.
Yeah.
But it is Leeds, so you never know. And then Leeds United has come to terms on the mutual termination of Patrick Bamford's contract. A hero, basically, who wound us the wound us up somewhat rotten sometimes with the finishing, and yeah, he was injured all the time. But he always worked his bollocks off, and he's a bloody good player. And Bielsa Bamford is a different level of player to Bamford the rest of his career. That promotion from the Championship and Premier League season, he was unbelievably good.
The video I watched the other day of lockdown Bamford was wonderful. When you watched him score, it's the confidence with which he's played with all of a sudden that no one's watching him essentially. This you know, the hat trick away at Villa, the goals at Leicester, it was just brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, the hat-trick at Villa is the one that always stands out to me just in terms of the sheer quality on display. That third goal where he beats four defenders without actually moving.
Yeah, he just like flicks a leg around a little bit and just finds a gap. And I think the other side of it as well was very much... Obviously, like you say, we had our periods of, God, for God's sake, not Patrick Bamford. And then we'd not have him for a little while. And you'd be like, I could really do with Pat, though.
Yeah, you know what this team needs? Patrick Bamford.
I mean, the back end of the relegation season, we looked so much better for having him in the team than without him.
Yeah, I mean, but that, to be honest, the end of that relegation season kind of sums him up. He came back in, the team looked miles better, but he missed two or three really big chances in the running. And if he scores them, we may well stay up. That is Patrick Bamford in a nutshell, but I love Bamford.
And yeah.
I'll be honest. I've literally tweeted him pitching this because you never know. I want him to go join Mateusz Klich in Poland so we can go watch both of them play for Cracovia.
Yeah.
I don't think that's very likely.
Can we get Liam Cooper out of his contract and get him to Poland as well?
Has he actually signed for someone?
Did we go to Scotland? Or was that just a rumour?
He was rumoured. I don't think he's actually signed for anyone yet.
Ah, get him in. Rebuild that team.
2 weeks ago, he was due to have a medical, apparently, at Chef Wednesday.
Oh.
So I got a real shock because I just typed in Liam Cooper and news. And the top thing is about Liam Cooper coming out as bisexual. But that's a different bloke. Now, I wouldn't care. I just would have been surprised. someone from Married at First Sight Australia, apparently.
Oh, okay.
Which, of course, I've never seen. But no, I hope Bamford gets a good move.
I know. I wonder who he'll be linked with. Is it Wrexham and Birmingham?
I mean, I can't see Birmingham. Just because they've spent so much money on Stansfield. I can see Wrexham. There was a few people saying Rangers, but given the way he's talked about how this has been handled, something tells me he's not going to want to just go back there. If he was going to Rangers, it wouldn't have been a mutual termination of his contract. It'd have been on loan at Rangers for the season and they'd have come to some arrangement on wages.
Yeah. For no particular reason.
Yeah. But yeah, I hope he gets a good move and does basically whatever he fancies. If he fancies going out to America, I hope he gets an MLS move. If he fancies playing abroad, good for him. If he don't want to move and wants to just play for someone nearby, cool.
Where's Gainsborough?
Yeah.
Can he play up front with Ross McCormack?
Garth of Town needs a striker. But yeah, we'll properly miss Patrick Bamford. And when Calvert-Lewin missed all those chances and then skied that penalty, it wasn't very nice, but chanting Patrick Bamford was quite funny. That is quite funny.
We're such fan base. Absolutely love us.
Do you know what isn't funny is doing the Nonto song again. Luckily, not with the same last line. But I sort of get it because Dominic Calvert-Lewin has worn a frock. He objectively has. But don't make that song. It's just a bit weird. I did kind of in my head want to figure out a way to do because he's in fashion. but I couldn't make it scan.
Yeah.
We're but a weird team. Yeah. So yeah, good luck, Patrick Bamford. You'll be missed around these parts. I hope. I would like him to do it today. Come out at halftime, or to be able, actually, people go for smoking and drinking stuff at halftime. Come out 5 minutes before kickoff for one at home games.
Make him the mascot. Let him bring the match forward.
Yeah, there was a lot, because like Johnny Howson's doing that, I believe, today. He's off up to Middlesbrough to like say bye to all the fans and stuff.
Yeah,
I'd like it if we could get Bamford for the same sort of thing.
Yeah, that has been the disappointment, because I know when Click came back to say his goodbyes, it was like you say, it was at half time, it's a half empty stadium, and it's
I'd always do it like 5 minutes before kickoff.
Yeah.
And there's been one in James Justin, £8 million from Leicester. Apparently, there's also £2 million add-on, so could go up to 10. 4-year deal. I've said this a lot this season. Exactly the right kind of player. You know, we needed a fullback that can cover both sides. He can also play centre back in a three. I'm assuming he could play centre back in a two in an emergency, but we've got plenty of options for that. Exactly the right kind of player we need. 6 foot, played for England, really good pedigree. He's been injured a lot.
I forgot he played for England.
Yeah, once. I don't remember who it was against, but I can find out.
I'm going to say Liechtenstein.
It was a 1-0 defeat to Hungary in the Nations League. And you'll never guess, but he had to go off at half time with an injury.
I mean, I assume he's coming in as the backup fullback that we so desperately need.
Yeah, and to be fair, and this is one thing that is important to point out, he played 39 championship games in 23-24. He played 36 Premier League games last season. He has had bad injury problems, but not recently.
Okay. It's the competition that's needed, isn't it? Because, like I said, we've looked at that team, and at the moment, your backup left-back's Jack Harris, and your backup right-back's Sam Byram.
Yeah, and I mean, you sort of agree, but I said I am absolutely fine with giving Sam Byram another year if he's third choice right back and third choice left back.
Yeah.
I didn't want him to be second choice for both, which is where we were.
Yeah, and yet there he was putting in a crunching tackle on a child against Arsenal. No, it's good to have James Justin in, the man with two first names.
Well, we'll see how he sort of. I mean, I'm assuming he'll be on. If he's fit, he'll be on the bench today.
Yeah.
Which brings us on to later today, 5:30, Newcastle at home. This will be a really tough game. There is some good news. Obviously, Anthony Gordon got sent off against Liverpool. They haven't sorted things out with Isak. They've signed Nick Foltomado. It's quite expensive, but that could be unbelievable. But he isn't registered in time for this. Joe Linton is a major doubt. I think he's the one that's almost definitely out. And then Tonali's doubtful. Lewis Hall's doubtful. Botman's probably not fit. So, don't get me wrong, it's still a good side, but it's not Newcastle at their best. Like, the back five will be the same as it was against Liverpool. Pope in goal, Trippier, Cher, Dan Burn, Livramento, probably. But then in midfield, it does change a bit. Bruno Guimaraes is still fit, and he's basically as good a midfielder as anyone in the league. But it looks like it's probably... Obviously, Aaron Ramsey, who we've just spent... No, Jacob Ramsey. Aaron Ramsey's his brother. I do that every time. Jacob Ramsey, who we've just spent like 40 million on from Aston Villa. And on here, they've got... Joe Willock, but given how he did when he came on against Liverpool, I wouldn't be surprised if Lewis Miley starts.
Yeah.
Because he looked good when he came on. And then Barnes and Ilanga on the wings. And probably William Asula up top, who got the equaliser against Liverpool, but he hasn't played loads. And he's definitely I don't know if he's a drop down as a centre forward from Gordon. Gordon is pressing is a lot, is probably better. which is big for Newcastle. But neither of them are Alexander Isak.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really looking forward to this. This could be a bit of a slog for us. Very much after what we said about the Arsenal game, we will have to be very organised, and I think you know if they are, well, they will press as high, and I think
their press. I mean, I know they're missing some players, so like, I mean, Joe Linton's a pressing monster. They will miss him.
But you didn't think you'd be saying that 3 years ago, did you?
No, I did not see that coming when he was a £40 million flop of a striker.
Never known someone where you are watching them going, well, I don't know what to do with this lad. He just looks lethargic. He doesn't get into the game. He's just not what he should be. Why didn't we put him in a position where he's got to do even more work?
Yeah, and then it turns out, yeah. Well, I assume that what they did was see him in training and go, this guy's got like boundless energy and he's quick and he's strong and we just aren't seeing it on the pitch.
Yeah.
Let's just stick it. Like, he's unbelievable. Tanaka is out with an MCL injury, so he's probably out for at least a few weeks. Ampadu's still out. So who's the midfield going to be? Gruev, Longstaff, Stack?
Pretty much it, isn't it, really, unless you're looking at...
Park did mention in his press conference maybe 4-2-3-1.
Oh, no.
That which would mean...
Oh, no.
You'll be my American boy.
Ah, the counter-presser.
Well, the truth is, if he goes to 4-2-3-1, and I wouldn't, I'd go with a midfield three, I think... But I can argue for Stack, Longstaff. I don't think Stack, Longstaff, Aronson at 10 will do worse than Gruev as the holding mid. Like, I think it's basically a toss-up between the two, and I'm not overly keen on either as an option.
No. So what you're arguing for, really, is, like we were saying at the back end of last season, Nonto at 10.
There's no chance he does it.
No, yeah, absolutely yes. Not.
And I would like that. I don't think there's any chance. And two, as hard as Nonto works, he's not actually he tackled. Like, I think he made the most tackles and stuff against Arsenal. He was really quite disciplined, but I think he's better at that from wide than he would be in the middle.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely be starting here. I think you've got to start Metcher. If Calvert-Lewin is fit, I'd start Calvert-Lewin, but I don't think for a second he is.
No, I think he needs
minutes. He'll get onto the bench this time, probably. But like, will it just be James? I mean, do you think it'll just be James and Antoine Peru?
I'm trying to think if Okafor does come in for this one.
If he does, do you think it's for James or do you think it's for Nonto?
I think it's Nonto. Bearing in mind, Nonto wasn't his first choice winger in the Championship last season. I would imagine it would be in for Nonto. But that being said, Okafor had some decent touches against Chef Wednesday without ever really...
Yeah, I should say there's bits of the Chef Wednesday game I'm not as clear on because I had to work during it. I did watch it all, but I was quite distracted.
Yeah. I'm going to say sticks with Okafor for this one. I think it's Okafor left, James right, and Metcher up front.
Yeah, I think he's got to play Metcher this time. But he is really stubborn, and the fact that everyone said that,
I'll show you.
I'll show you in Anima. like against a different team, even though it didn't work against Chef Wednesday, there are teams where I'd be all right with Peru playing at 10. This is not one of them. Like, you need every bit of energy you're going to have against these. These work so hard. They're so well drilled.
Oh, apologies, I haven't just seen it. As little Danny has commented there, Noah Okafor being assessed for a groin injury that he sustained in training on Wednesday.
Oh, shit, I did read that and I'd forgot. Yeah, good catch, Danny.
Never mind. Nonto.
Yeah, no, I did read that, but I'd forgot about it. So, yeah, Nonto. Yeah, I reckon Perry in goal, Bogle, I think he'll go back to Roden and Strouk. Because this is one where I'm just going to say someone else's opinion as my own, because I didn't get to notice this as much because I was distracted during the game. My dad watched that game and he said, where have they found that ball now? Did they find him drunk behind a pub? So I'm guessing he wasn't great on the ball. I didn't really notice it because I was a bit busy doing other things. I did see Beall be very sloppy at times. So I think he'll just go Roden Strouk again. Goodmanson, who's, you know, still coming out plenty of credit. I think he'll just go midfield three. I think it'll be Gruev, Longstaff and Stack.
I'm hoping Longstaff doesn't take this as a Jermaine Beckford performance.
He doesn't seem like the sort.
I don't think.
I really hope Little Danny's wrong that they're the next year Entei and Cock, Bornau and Beall. But Bornau, maybe. I think Beall will come good.
I think that's better than Robin Cock.
I would quite like to see us play Beall in this game, because I think that he's, based on the bits I've seen from Udinese, he was really strong. And one of the things that stood out from, and it is just from like compilations of him and stuff rather than full games, his long passing appeared to be really good. And we might need that, because they press like fuck. And we might need to hit balls over the top for runners. So that's probably why I would pick Beall, but I don't think he will.
And Dan Byrne is very big.
Dan Byrne is quite the large gentleman. By the way, Dan Byrne, fucking fair play. Dan Byrne for Birmingham City at Elland Road when we won 4-0 is one of the worst defensive performances I have ever seen. I believe I said the sentence like, how the hell has this guy made it up to the Championship? This is a non-league footballer who's just tall. And though he's really good and he clearly works his bollocks off because he seems to get better every year. Fair play, Dan Byrne. Really like Dan Byrne. But yeah, I think he'll go. I also, especially with Okafor being injured, yeah, I think it'll be Metcher up top with James and Nonto on the wings.
Yeah.
Do not rule out Jack Harrison on the left. I don't think he will, but don't rule out.
I personally don't.
But so, yeah, and then on the bench, like, Justin will be on the bench. I think Calvert-Lewin will now be on the bench as well.
Yeah, I reckon so.
Yeah, Peru, we haven't got... The one thing is, if we do start with just a straight midfield three, we haven't got anyone to come on there, have we? Which might be the reason to go 4-2-3-1.
Do we try Brendan Aaronson as a box-to-box?
Either that, or if we do need to make a change. To be honest, if we do need to make a change, it's probably to go more attacking in this game. So it probably would then be Aaronson or the winger on and go into a 4-2-3-1. Yeah. But yeah, that you'll have to go to work fairly soon, so we'll wrap this up. I did get some predictions sent through. Little Danny has a 1-1 draw because he's quite optimistic. Connie has a 2-1 win because he's painfully optimistic. Alex, 3-0 loss. Benny, 3-1 loss. KC?
2-0 loss.
Yeah, and I've got a 3-1 loss.
At least you're scoring.
Yeah, I think we'll get one. But to be honest, maximum misery. We might even go 1-0 up. And then really go wrong.
Just have a moment believing.
Yeah. I mean, if we go 1-0 up, I'll just try and get some signal to back the comeback, I suppose. But yeah, that will do us for episode 326 of the Mike White's podcast. Apologies for it being a bit thrown together again. Next week will be slightly better. We're probably going to do a post-Newcastle one early Monday is probably his best bet with work. And then it's the international break and I just don't care about it.
Same.
So we'll is Monday deadline day?
I can't even remember now.
I think Monday's deadline day, it might be that we do one Monday morning and then we just try and find 20 minutes at some point if something mad happens at the end of deadline day. That's the other thing that we should very quickly mention. What the fuck is Buonanotte going to Chelsea on loan for with no option?
Yeah.
I can understand picking Chelsea over Leeds if it's a transfer. But if you're going on loan, go to the one where you're going to play.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, when I first saw it, I assumed, oh, Chelsea are buying him and they're going to loan him to Strasbourg, which I hate, but it makes sense. A straight-up loan to Chelsea from Brighton because he can't get in the Brighton team of a number 10 slash winger, of which Chelsea have, I don't know, 300 of them? It's one of the weirdest transfers I've ever seen. It's like, there's something really weird going on there.
Yeah, I don't get it. But...
And I'm pissed off because I really wanted Buonanotte. He was like one of the... Him and El Canoes were like the two names that I said ages ago.
Yeah.
And the weird thing is that if we signed El Canoes now, I'd be very happy because I think he's a good player. But I would be like, why didn't you do it 3 weeks ago when he was 14 million cheaper?
That's just not how football works, is it, Jack? Like, it's...
Yeah. Oh well. Fuck it. Hopefully those of us who aren't Connie get proved wrong.
Yeah.
Later on, and that because, I mean, we all would. I'd absolutely snap your hand off for a point.
Yeah.
It'd be a great result. So yeah, that'll do us for episode 326 of the Mighty Whites podcast. I've been Jack. See ya.
I'm Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.